Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Modern Money Smart Pod. I'm your host, Sean McMahon, and thanks to the support of our friends at Ion Markets, this podcast is coming to you from the 49th Annual International Futures Industry Conference. It's been a heck of a week. Anyone who's been to this event knows that surviving Boca is a marathon and not a sprint. And so I've got a very special guest with me today to help close out the week. Rohit Bhatt is the Managing Director of Capital Markets, Digital Assets, and Exchanges at Google Cloud. Rohit, how are you doing today?
Good, my friend. It's good to see you again. It's been some time since you and I've had a chance to connect. Always fun to connect to these type of events.
Yeah, for sure. So let's start off. The week has concluded here. What are your key takeaways from the events here this week?
Yeah, it's been a fun conference. There's been a stark difference in years prior to how this one seems to have read off. A lot more validation and acknowledgement of some of the trends that are driving change in behavior for the markets. The conversation has shifted from just being about cost efficiencies to now taking a turn towards how do we get better at risk management, how do we get better at value definition, and kind of focus on top-line growth for the business. So that's nice to see that's kind of what the conversation, the tone is going versus, shrink to save cost. Also, it's been great to kind of see, a good blend of technology providers of capabilities, plus different parts of the market segment, venues, the data providers, and then, of course, the global market players all come together to have a conversation about how do you build solutions kind of at scale versus point problems to be solved.
Yeah, and I went through your title, capital markets, digital assets, and exchanges. Like it's hard for me to think of a better basket of responsibilities for
Boca. It's by design. It is actually by design.
Did you hear anything that surprised you this week?
I would say there's one kind of area that was surprising to me. I think there seems to be a more wider gap than I expected in the cohort of people that or institutions that really are leaned in and viewing technology as an enabler to the next generation of what markets might look to do versus maybe a part of the market cohort that is looking to double down and squeeze out the next, inch of benefit from existing investments. And obviously, I may have a biased opinion on which direction, folks should be leaning towards. But it was nice to see that clarity start occurring, but I didn't realize that gap still kind of existed.
Yeah, I got to think. So there were some conversations about, capacity consumption. Mm-hmm. A lot of the exchange leaders were up there yesterday. They build more and more capacity. Investors are there just to snap it up. I've got to think that that's music to your ears.
Oh, for sure. It's not just music to my ears. It's the timing is so right. We've seen volumes of activity increase across the board, and you might define volume as just trade activity. I look at it as that, plus really anything that occurs in a financial market could be the movement of value, could be the definition of risk, could be the definition of margining, but the volume of activities have gone through a step function change in recent times. So capacity, obviously a big conversation. That's paired up very nicely with, over the last 24 months in particular, the type of financial instruments, the newer age asset classes, seem to be playing a more important role across both traditional finance and alt finance or digital asset space. And so as these worlds get closer and closer, there's added complexity as it relates to deployment of capital, understanding of risk, and then so on and so forth from there. So in that context, it's been great to see that, and it's music to my ears because the capacity equation now is paired up nicely with the need to drive data and analytics as platform-level initiatives. That's an area that we differentiate in quite heavily. So it's nice to see that be the realization for the industry, and we're well positioned to partner with them on this.
Yeah, and obviously one of the key themes this week was artificial intelligence. One of the exchange leaders yesterday, explained it as like the closer you get to the trading book, the less AI will be involved. The further you get away from the trading book, with back office and stuff like that, the more AI will be involved. How much closer will we get to the trading book side? But I'm assuming someone like you is like, we can actually keep inching our way a little closer to that. Maybe not get all the way there because there's, some human and other stuff interaction. But like, how hard is it to kind of move, that football down the field? Excuse the pun.
Yeah, no, that's fair. I think first is we got to understand the framing of what we're trying to solve over here. I think people are mixing up generative AI with AI, with machine learning techniques. So step one is just to understand that it's not really a question of how close will we get to the trading book. It's more for what purpose. So for example, you know, the closer we want to get to having, we'll call them knowledge agents, understand trade pattern behavior, perhaps for the initiative to understand trade surveillance or to prevent bad behavior. On those contexts, having access to the trade book for LLMs might actually have a very strong role because they will be good at understanding massive amounts of information to get some interesting insights from it. LLMs are not designed to be mathematically precise, you know, types of constructs. That's what machine learning and advanced machine learning is really focused around. And so if by getting close to the trade book, we mean alpha generation or understanding signal behavior or making the next best decision, I don't think LLMs are going to play as strong of a role in the near term on those types of things, maybe perhaps never. On the other end of the spectrum, we see some pretty clear value propositions now emerging, especially with the space of generative AI. On one front, we use the word efficiencies to be gained. And that is platform front to back. You can see automation capabilities that LLMs can provide. It can be through to the development community, through code development and helping developers better understand existing legacy code so they can develop net new capabilities, and or being a developer assist capability so they can build net new applications. On the other side, we see what we call knowledge scaling. So this notion that there are many, many modes of information being generated today, speech, video, audio, and of course, financial filings and text. And the ability to very quickly ingest and understand that information and then interact with that information almost like you're talking to a human being, that's knowledge scaling. And so empowering various parts of the business with that capability is where we're going to see a strong, I would say, adoption of those LLM technologies.
Okay, and so on your panel earlier today, you did an excellent job of kind of describing cloud 1.0, you know, cloud 1.5, and we're at cloud 2.0. So what are some of the main capabilities for our listeners that you would say, you know, differentiates 2.0 from, say, 1.5 or 1.0?
Yeah, I think in 1.0, really the premise was about infrastructure-based initiatives. I need burst capacity. I want to do something that I'm doing today is just cheaper tomorrow. It's like rent somebody else's equipment mentality. I think where we are with Cloud 2.0 now is that there's enough adoption occurred in different parts of the market segment, market structure, that now we can have a conversation about what are those data-based value services that could be provided. And that equation looks different for, say, a venue versus, say, a global market provider. Let me give an example. You know, if you're a venue and you have a strong presence, let's say, in cash or treasury markets, one of the difficult things that that your constituents, your participants have is running calculations on things like real-time indexing or maybe real-time risk calculations. And the emergence of these technologies now in the cloud allow you to do that processing in near real time on real time data. So it's not just about streaming information, which is what Cloud 1.0 was about, distribution. It's now about almost real time processing layered on top of that and provided as a service to your participants. That's Cloud 2.0. It's all about service creation, value creation versus distribution only and doing something cheaper. For the global market players, it's become really interesting because now the information that resides in cloud allows them to think about that data very differently. What do I mean? A large part of the equation as complexity in these markets arise, like we talked about with volume and complexity, there's a new need to service that information in two ways. One, for a reporting purpose, so you can add transparency in your actions in a particular market. Great. That's a great use case for cloud to play a heavy role given the data capabilities there. But more importantly, the management of risk. So understanding your risk positioning and exposure, be it counterparty client risk, be it margining or collateral optimization, doing those things within session or near real time becomes really, really valuable to these firms. And the scale at which cloud operates, where you need it, when you need it, allows these firms to now kind of play that function. So Cloud 2.0 to me is going to be a lot more robust data-based services that are looking to drive that value statement versus just an efficiency function.
I understand. So, you know, speaking of your panel earlier today, I want to pull on a fun little thread of something that happened there. And for our listeners, during the panel, the moderator kind of flubbed a line or misspoke and referred to the cloud as Rohit's cloud, as if you were the all-knowing and all-powerful, you know, owner of this.
Well, I'm glad this is my IPO podcast. We're launching here today with Sean, open for investment.
Yeah, not trying to get you in trouble with any of the senior execs or the shareholders, but it was just a really funny thing. The crowd got into it, and it was, you know, it was just kind of an inside joke within that little 45-minute session. But I want to play on that a little bit. So in Rohit's cloud of Cloud 3.0, What are the added capabilities there?
Yeah, I think two things that need to be true in this new world. So one is going to be, there's this observation now that in this highly connected environment of venues, participants, and what we'll call intermediaries, the problems that need to be resolved cannot be resolved by a single firm, and also need a deep collaborative partnership with a provider of technology underneath the covers. So in Cloud 3.0, it's really going to be about end-to-end systems, not just platform front to back within a firm, but really about the full movement of value from the venues, out to the trade, out to the global market players, clear, settle, and all the way back in. So in Cloud 3.0, if we get data services right, you can then imagine a world where these things can actually be hyper-connected, and you drive incredible efficiencies in the overall market as a result of that. The second thing that I think is going to be really interesting when these things are highly connected and interoperable is, you know, the buzzwords of, you know, AI is the answer, what was the question? These things will take on a whole new meaning because we will be able to service things like next best action, trade surveillance, anti-money laundering capabilities will become nascent services, not something that each particular firm has to take on their own. You'll have these nascent capabilities that allow you to do that at scale without it being a burden. So you'll drive much, much better transparency and democratization of access. And then in terms of intelligence and differentiation, that's where it's going to get really, really interesting. I think at the last podcast we did together, you were talking about what's the big bet, you know, going to the future. And if I remember correctly, which I think is coming true now, you know, my response to that is I think you're going to see a divergence of firms that understand what differentiation will look like moving forward, which is not going to be about who has the most data. I think that's going to become table stakes. It's really going to be about who can make sense of it the fastest and who can determine the right patterns to leverage that information moving forward. And these technologies in machine learning and AI are going to play a very heavy role in that context. And so the firms that understand that are really going to see, I think, an advantage moving forward.
So how far away is this? How far away is Rohit's cloud 3.0?
Well, I don't think we're talking about many, many years away. I also don't think we're talking about 6 months away. So it's somewhere in that neighborhood. You know, the enablement of these data platforms is a non-trivial thing to get done and get right. So in Cloud 3.0, I think that, you know, the more that we can work directly with the ecosystem to bring this data onto a singular platform, the faster you'll get to that value statement, so that's not really where people are trying to differentiate. You shouldn't be trying to differentiate in how fast you can capture information or store information or process information. That's not really the differentiating factor for how you might think about, you know, determining alpha. So focusing on that behavior is, I think, closer than we think, but it's certainly not 6 months away.
And so, you know, bringing things back here to Boca, it's been a long week. It's a marathon of panels and leaders and just expert insights. It's hard to ingest it all. You really need like AI to ingest all of the content from all these smart people. But I want to close with one last question. We got all this information coming at us, but what wasn't talked about this week that perhaps surprised you or you feel like we will be talking about, say, next year or the year after?
You know, with every hype cycle of technology, and we've all lived through multiple of those, blockchain being the last one, and of course AI, you know, hitting fever pitch right now. I think it was surprising to me to see how much the fundamentals maybe weren't talked about as much. There's still a very big data problem to be resolved. You saw on the panel, for example, you know, one of the largest FCMs. And one of the largest clearinghouses, we're talking about the difficulties that they have with something as simple as the definition standardization of how data movement occurs and the modeling techniques behind those data structures. You know, there's some very basic problems that I think still need to be resolved, and a lot more focus needs to be put onto that, because those will be your unlocking capabilities. If you get those things right, I think then the kind of capabilities we're talking about with machine learning and AI become far more relevant. So what was surprising to me probably was the fact that we maybe lost track of the fundamentals a little bit in the conversations.
Well, I look forward to hearing more about that. Maybe some people touching on that next year.
Absolutely.
Well, hey, Rohit, it's great to talk to you again. I appreciate making the time in this busy week and relax a little bit. It's all over.
Always a pleasure, my friend. Thanks for having me.
All right, everyone. It's time for this road trip to finally come to an end. We've had an amazing week here in Boca. I want to say a special thank you to Walt Lukin and the entire team at the FIA for once again putting on an amazing event. I also want to thank our sponsors, Ion Markets. And remember, if you want to stay in the know about all the news from the cleared derivatives industry, head on over to smartbrief.com and sign up for the daily FIA Smart Brief newsletter.